I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice. Another afternoon, another episode, another epic time together we have here. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and there is a lot to talk about. And you know what? From day to day, we have no idea how things are going to change, how fast they're going. Would you ever have imagined we'd be in the place we are in right now, where they're going to try and impeach President Trump yet again over what, a speech where they made things up that they say he said because it suits their narrative? Now listen, this whole attack on the Capitol was terrible. Nobody should attack the Capitol. Nobody should go bashing in there. You know why? Because we all know you're not allowed to do that. That is a place where people work that is supposed to be secure. That's the seat of our government. When you juxtapose that with the right of the people to protest and seek redress from their leaders, you have to understand the boundaries. You know, you don't go bashing into the White House because you don't like the president. Well, you can't go bashing into the halls of Congress because you don't like what Congress is doing. What the people who did there, let me be crystal clear, what they did there was inappropriate, was wrong. They should not have gone in there. Somebody died, a police officer, one of my brothers died in that conflict. There's no way to put anything on that say that was correct. Outside, protesting, yelling, screaming, hollering, chanting, absolutely appropriate. If a politician came out and you wanted to yell at them, perfectly okay. Going into the halls of Congress, our Congress, not Republican, not Democrat Congress, that's our Congress. Those people there, we may not like them, we may not like all their attitudes, we may not like their philosophy on both sides of the aisle. The reality is they are our political leaders and they have to be protected. What happened here was dangerous and absolutely could have led to even more bloodshed on many different parts of people. You know, those law enforcement officers trying to hold back a crowd from going into a secure facility. The place went into lockdown. A place goes into lockdown, and then you have someone who figures the only way they can stop that approaching mob, that some of them were carrying things that looked like weapons. I mean, it could have been justified shooting back at that crowd to hold them back. And then we would have what? Protesters dead, police officers dead. Totally inappropriate. Now, as long as I'm crystal clear on that, we try and understand why would that group of people do that. Now, there was hundreds of thousands of people there in Washington, apparently. You saw the size of the crowd. You saw the pictures. It was enormous. This was people who were frustrated and upset and angry with not being heard. They feel their voices were not being heard. Now, if you're on the left and you say, hey, listen, the election was perfectly good and I don't care about all the anecdotal evidence and all the maybe evidence and maybe the video of votes showing up and machines that could be tapped into that couldn't be tapped into, you don't care about any of that. The election was over and they had no right to go there. That's where you're wrong. People have a right to protest as much as they want. Now, I think if we go back, let's go back 4 years. And I'm not drawing a comparison per se. I'm trying to point out some obvious things here. We go back to right after the inaugural for Trump, and then we had the March on Washington. Remember the ladies with the hats, the big pink hats, and all those people, those hundreds of thousands of people who were not my president, Trump, and they were storming all over the place? They had every right to do that. It was a protest. I could say they were wrong. I thought they were wrong, but they have every right to do it. Well, the people that were in Washington on January 6th had every right to be there and to protest and to say ugly things and to march up and down and to yell at people. They didn't have a right to go into the halls of Congress and put everybody there in danger. That they didn't have a right to do. We all have to start from that point. Now, why did they do that? Why did these people do that? Were they a brainwashed mob of crazed Trump supporters who just wanted to do his bidding and attack Congress and hurt everybody in there? No, I think if you are not going to look at it fairly, if you're not going to look at it correctly, if you're not going to look at it with an eye towards truth, then maybe you could say that. Maybe you could feel good getting away with that with yourself and your friends. You know, how this is what they were doing. They were a mob of angry people. Well, mobs are always full of angry people. But we had hundreds of thousands of people there who did not storm into the Capitol. We had hundreds of thousands of people there who did not attack anybody, burn anything, loot businesses, destroy the place. They didn't do that. They were there protesting. They were there making their voices heard. Now, let's think about that for a minute. Wasn't that basically what I heard President Trump say? What he said, basically, he gave his speech there. He's upset. He believes that the election was fraudulently stolen. Now, you can disagree with that because you don't like Trump. You can disagree with that because you don't believe the evidence. You can disagree with that because you think that it's just a talking point. But there is half the country who thinks something bad happened with the election that needed to be investigated, and nobody would listen. So what did they do? They went down there as a last-ditch effort to make their voices heard, just like the ladies with the big pink hats went down there to make their voices heard. Because they didn't think anybody was listening to them. They were outraged at what happened. Well, lots and lots of these Americans that went there were outraged at what they believe, that their rights, their votes were disenfranchised from them. And what they wanted was someone to stand up and say, well, let's take a look. This is what Senator Cruz was doing. This is what Josh Hawley was doing. By saying that they were going to contest the electors, what they were saying is, let's take a 10-day break here. Let's actually look at the facts. But you know what? Nobody wanted to look at the facts. Nobody wanted to look at the facts, and therefore, all those people who feel disenfranchised are actually disenfranchised. Because we don't know if there was any fraud. Do we really know? Was there? That guy at the Georgia hearing, he sat there, he hacked into one of the voting machines. He was in it live. But you know what? You can't really do that because it doesn't have Wi-Fi. Then how did he get in? Wouldn't somebody be curious about that and go, wow, if that could happen, maybe something happened. We should take a look. And this is what my point is. And I'll be crystal clear and I'll say it over and over and over again. Attacking the Capitol was not right. It was inappropriate and it led to the death of a police officer. As a police officer myself, I am disgusted by that. I am hurt by that. I feel for that officer's family and for his brother and sister officers. Every American should feel a pain that that officer was killed in that confrontation. And people have to pay a penalty for that. There was a death of a law enforcement officer in this conflict. That's a big deal. That makes this extremely serious. So they shouldn't have gone in there. They shouldn't have attacked the officer, and an officer ended up dead. And I think four other people, somebody had a heart attack, somebody else got hurt, four or five people ended up dead. That is a horrific thing for America. There's no other way around it. But the sentiment behind it cannot be ignored. Not the attack, but the people showing up in D.C. are the ones I'm talking about. The people who went down there that didn't storm the Capitol. The people that didn't go in and confront the police. The hundreds of thousands of people who were just trying to protect their rights. Who wanted someone to listen to them. And again, go back to listen to what President Trump said. I listened to it. What he said was these people should be, you know, upset that this happened because he was upset. Half of the country feels that something happened. Just because our friends on the left don't want to believe anything happened doesn't mean something didn't happen with the votes, just because they don't want to believe it. Or it's convenient for them not to believe it, whatever the reason is. Half of the country feels something went wrong with that, and that deserves to be looked at when half the country feels something went wrong. And then the courts denied everyone. Everybody tried to do the right thing. Go to court. Go to court. Hear your thing. And the courts rejected it out of hand without even looking at it. No, we're not going to look at it. Right? We know these things happened. We cannot deny that that happened. And that raises the level of frustration. Why are people in the streets in all of these cities rioting and protesting and attacking everything? Why are they doing it? Because they don't feel they were heard. They feel that there's an injustice in their lives, in their community, and nobody will listen. Now, we can agree or disagree with them. They have every right to feel that way. It's their life experience, and they can go out and protest it. They can go out in the street. Now, should they be looting and burning and hurting people and attacking officers? No, absolutely not. and they should be held accountable for their actions. Protesting doesn't mean you get to do whatever the hell you feel like doing and destroy whatever you want and kill and hurt whoever you want to make your point. That's not what it means. Just like it didn't mean that at the Capitol, right? So we have all of these things that you can say they're apples and oranges. They're not. They're protests by people who feel their voices are not being heard. And they had reached their limit of being told, no, your voice doesn't matter. What your concern is doesn't matter. And when people get to that point, any people, they will take other avenues to make their voices heard. So that's what I see happened in Washington. And President Trump, what he said was, and now I know you're all going to go down to the Capitol. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but I heard it, but this is what he said. I know you're going to go down to the Capitol. You're going to go down there and let them hear your voice. He didn't say storm the Capitol, crash it in, chase people around, hurt them and kill them. He didn't say that. He was not inciting a riot. He's the president of the United States telling the people of the United States who feel aggrieved that they should make their voices heard. Because if not, what is the alternative to that? Shut up and go home? Sit down and be quiet? You've been told no? Listen, the government has said that's enough? Right, now, half the government said that's enough. The half that happens to be in control of the power, levers of power, they have said that's enough. So you should all just listen, and you can never redress your government. Do you understand the road that leads you down? The path that puts you on? That puts you on the path, and I hate to say it, but the path to tyranny. Because then someone can decide when you can and when you cannot voice your opinion. Right? Is this where we're going? So let's recap now. What happened at the Capitol on January 6th was terrible, bad, criminal, and should be investigated. A police officer died. As a nation, we mourn him, and we feel for his family. We feel for our whole country that an officer died in the line of duty. Other people died. It was a terrible, horrible thing that we have to make sure doesn't happen again. That is one part of that event. The other part of the event was hundreds of thousands of people went there to make their voices heard, which is their right. They're a right as an American citizen under the Constitution to peaceably assemble, because a small percentage of them were not peaceable. It makes the entire thing illegitimate. No. And part three, President Trump did not incite insurrection. He did not go tell them to go rip the Congress people out of the Congress and injure them and hurt them and do away with them so that he can stay in power. This is a lie, and this is damaging to our nation. We have to look at things honestly, just like we have to look at the people who were rioting in the summer, and we have to listen. What is it they're trying to tell us? Right, wrong, or indifferent? They have a right to tell us, and we are smart as a nation if when people are that upset, if we listen and give it a real hearing, a real understanding. Because if we don't understand and hear each other clearly and try and work out the problems that we have as a society, this is going to become the norm, the regular. And if you look at history, this is how countries devolve throughout history. This is the path downward. When one group is pitted against another so strongly that they take to violence in the streets. I don't want that. That's wrong. That's dangerous for our country. Not only is it dangerous for the individual people caught up in it, but it weakens our democracy. It weakens our freedom. It weakens the life we've tried to build here for our children and for our children's children. So we are so divided today. Never been so divided ever I can ever see in my life experience. Or as Rush Limbaugh would say, you know, the history starts on the day you were born. No, I look behind that and say there's been 200 and something years of history. And this is probably the most divided we have ever been. We are completely 100% divided. And what Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are doing now, who told us the whole time, healing, 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 healing. Well, we all warned you, those of us who are a little more conservative than those on the left, we warned you that they're just words, they're platitudes. Where is the healing? Where is the understanding that a small group of people went into that Capitol and they should be punished for what they did? They should be held accountable. But the other hundreds of thousands of people were there had a grievance that should have been heard. Where is that hearing? See, that would go a long way to healing, because people would say, okay, you hear us now. And I can't find anyone that says, oh, what a great idea that they went in there and killed that police officer. That is a sick and disgusting thought, and I don't know anybody who feels that way. Like Trump or not like Trump, we have to realize these are issues are bigger than one man that one side likes and the other side does not like. And if we can't see the bigger issues, we are going to fail as a nation. That is what makes nations fail. So it's incumbent on all of us as Americans, left and right, every single one of us, to look at truth and fact and find justice. The officer who died in the Capitol attack, he needs justice. His family needs justice. Law enforcement needs justice for that. But those other hundreds of thousands of people out in the street have been denied justice because they didn't storm the Capitol. They didn't burn things. They didn't kill people. They didn't destroy things. They went there for their voices to be heard. And their voices have not been heard. They've been ignored. They've been silenced. They've been shut down. They've been told to sit down and shut up. This is where we are at today. 2021 has taken up where 2020 left off. Only there's a little more vehemence than I thought there would be. I thought maybe there really was a chance for 2021 to go in a different direction. Hey, it is what it is. We're going to deal with the Biden administration and whatever they're going to bring up, but we will find a way to survive as a nation and to move ahead. Well, where is Mr. Biden today? Mr. Peaceful Guy, Mr. I'm going to bring everyone together. And I think many, many people, pundits, writers, other people have said all along, how do you bring people together if you're not willing to accept some of what the other person has to say? So coming together for our friends on the left really means we have to, anybody on the right or anyone who is a Trump supporter has to say, we were completely wrong and everything you want to do on the left and socialism is great and we agree with that now. Then we can all get along. But where are people reaching across the aisle and saying, you know what? There's big differences in how we want to see the country go forward. How do we work that out? Right? I wrote an article recently on AmericaOutloud.com. It's up on the platform now. And it's about the blanket of freedom. And we can't be blind to what freedom demands of us. And the reality is, if we did legitimately vote for Joe Biden, if that's what happened, if he really won that election, then we have made a lot of decisions. We have decided that abortion is okay. Abortion even after the baby's born is okay. If that's what the people voted for, that's what they voted for. We've decided that open borders is the right way to go. And if that's what the people voted for, that's what you get when you vote in an election. You vote, and the winning side gets to make the policy. So by choosing one side or another, you are making a choice. We can't be blind to that. That's what it is. Doesn't mean we have to like it. If you're opposed to those things, doesn't mean you have to like it. You get to protest that. You get to elect people who are going to change that, just like our friends on the left apparently did this time around. If everything was legitimate, then that's what just happened. The problem for all of us is, what if it wasn't legitimate? And you can sit out there and say all you want that that's ridiculous, that's a conspiracy theory. Have any of you, anybody out there, what news station has actually investigated any of the concerns other than just saying that they didn't really happen? Nobody. Nobody has looked into it. Where's the Department of Justice looking into it to see if there really is anything? Where's the voting commission to see if you really could hack into that voting machine? How many other voting machines do you think could have been hacked into? Right? When people's voices are not heard, they will scream louder. The problem comes when people don't want to hear them. They just want them to go away. And that doesn't work, especially in a free society. So this is Lieutenant Joe. I'll be back in a minute with round two here on Chasing Justice.
Oh, my fellow Americans, we sure do love our convenient shopping options. But what happens after we buy? Are the products coming from China or overseas, thereby putting our fellow Americans out of business? Are the profits being sent to groups like Antifa, Black Lives Matter, groups that intend to destroy the freedoms that we enjoy? Well, listen, I'm an avid consumer just like you are, but I've realized that we need to think before we buy. Shopping should be convenient and easy, sure, but we need to be able to follow the money. Well, ShopToTheRight.com. It's brand new. It's a new shopping platform featuring American companies with a focus on products that are made right here in America. Well, listen, this is a novel idea and one that I believe will start to become more popular and create a shopping revolution. ShopToTheRight.com.
Well, here we go with round two on Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. You know, trying to decipher all of this really takes, you need to take a deep breath. You take a deep breath, you need to be calm. You need to put away anger. You need to put away any kind of negative feelings you have. We have to look at facts. If we don't look at facts, I'm an investigator. Investigators look at facts. We find investigators make mistakes when they go into a situation, into an investigation with a predetermined conclusion. You know, when they go to a homicide scene and they say, oh, I know who did this, and that's how they focus their case. That's how you go wrong in an investigation. When we bring our biases into any investigation, we were leading down a road where we're going to get bad information, and it's not going to be fair, clear, just, and right. So all of us have to look at the facts. And this is where I'm hoping, and I guess it's hope. I guess it's hope. I don't want to look negative, is that things are changing. We were concerned, those of us who are more conservative than our friends on the left, were concerned what our friends on the left would do if they gained power. Now, a lot of people made claims, have said things, that they're going to raise taxes. Now, Joe Biden has told us very clearly that, and Kamala Harris has told us very clearly, that no one who makes under $400,000 will have a tax increase. Now, there's some sleight of hand that our friends politicians do, all of them, both sides of the aisle. They may not raise the tax rate, but they'll raise the fees, they'll raise the licensing, they'll raise everything else that's not called a tax, so that they can get more money out of you. Does anyone out there really believe, do you really believe that? That anybody less than $400,000 is not going to get hit with a tax increase? So would that be a lie? Or would that just be, oh, well, that's how it came out? These are the kind of things that we have to take a deep breath and look at. This is something that people were concerned about. Conservative people were concerned that the tax hike is going to come farther, that there's going to be new regulation, that regulation is going to choke off industry. Now, I know a lot of people think corporations and business is bad. They're out to screw everyone, kill everyone. They want to kill their customers, as our friend Rush Limbaugh says. That's their goal in life, is to kill their customers, which I certainly don't believe, and neither does Rush. He says it facetiously. The reality is, if we don't have large corporations making things, employing people, then we don't have jobs. We don't have an economy that's roaring, because that works its way down to small business, which is the backbone of all our businesses. Small businesses, so we can be employed, so that people can have jobs that can take care of themselves. If that is what we decide we don't want anymore, we don't want that kind of a capitalist society. We would rather government take care of us and let the government come in and take everybody's wealth and then redistribute it. If we think that's really the way to go, then that's what's going to happen. That was another concern that many conservative people had about left-wing or liberals taking over, like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, that when they take over, they're going to raise the taxes, raise regulation. They're going to come after your Second Amendment rights. Now, Joe Biden tried to downplay that. He's a Second Amendment guy, you know, that's he's going to be. But he made it clear that he's going to go after the NRA. He's going to crush them. And they are the biggest voice for gun rights in America. Now, you may not like gun violence. Who does? Who likes gun violence? Raise your hand if you like gun violence. Anybody? No, nobody likes gun violence. But just like we have to look at the difference between the different kind of riots and who did what and why and the reasoning, we have to understand it to put it in context. We have to understand this argument about gun violence. Now, on the large majority of Americans that own weapons, they are not violent. They do not commit robberies. They do not kill people. Most of the killing and the mayhem that takes place with weapons are done with illegal weapons, or are done by people who should not have a weapon because they've committed other crimes. You see, this we have to look at the violence. Look at Chicago. There is how many shootings every single weekend in Chicago. Now, Chicago has some of, if not the toughest, gun laws in America. Why is that? If everybody in Chicago voted for that and that's what they want, there should be no gun violence. Why don't they go get those guns? And I don't mean off the legal homeowners and the people who own them legally, who don't go out and commit crime. Why don't they go into the streets and go find the people with the guns and investigate it and go take the guns off of them? I think it's a reasonable question. Well, there's lots of political reasons not to do that. Depends on who has the guns. Well, the criminals have the guns, but we don't want to upset the criminals. Right? And this goes all, this is across all races. Anybody who's a criminal carrying a weapon is a criminal. Right? So don't misconstrue my words out there. I know people like to do that. It's not true. So we have to have an open and clear discussion on all of these topics if we're to make any headway. Does Joe Biden want to take away your gun rights? I believe to a certain degree he does. I believe they want you to have a shotgun and maybe a revolver, but I think they want every other kind of weapon gone. They want to have a registry of all your guns. They want to know where they are. They want to remove the ones that they don't think are appropriate. Now, is that the meaning of the Second Amendment? It's not. So how could that be adjudicated? How do Americans go to bed at night saying, well, it's a right, it's a Second Amendment right, and I'm sure that it'll maintain its position? Well, you would go to the courts, wouldn't you? And the courts would look at the Constitution, and they would interpret any law that came up about confiscating your weapons. They would compare it to the Constitution and say yes or no. Problem is, we can't really count on our courts anymore, can we? Our courts are kind of out in the weeds right now. They just overlook things that they think are uncomfortable to talk about, or might make the court look bad if they got involved, or might rile up some of the population. So therefore, they won't even look at it. Is that the purpose of the court? Is that where we all are now, backing down, back down, back down, back down, because we don't want trouble? We want peace, and peace just means acquiescing to those who are in power. Is that what it means? Is that what freedom means? That's one of the things when we look at people who voted against Trump, and people that did. I think a lot of them were probably just sick and tired of the constant aggravation on the news and the negative. I mean, four plus years of constant, never-ending negativity, lies. You know, we had a coup d'etat. We all forget that. Has that ever been investigated, by the way? Do we ever find out what happened 4 years ago when we have all this evidence, we have all these people, do we even know the truth there? Wouldn't it be good to know the truth one way or another? Were people actually acting inappropriately, violating the law, violating the Constitution, doing all those things, or weren't they? Well, gee, it's 4 years later. How come we don't know that? Why is that not a priority for us to know that? Interesting. So these are part of the problem. We start to realize that as individual citizens, as people, you and I, we really don't have any power. We have no power. We can't really fight the government. You can't really fight the government. Who's going to fight the government? You have the money to fight the government? If they want you, they'll come and get you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Right? So you would think that, okay, if something's wrong, I'll go to the courts. Well, we can't count on the courts now. Do you see? This is where the frustration in people begins to build up. Layer by layer, slowly by slowly. Which is, we can look at other people who have grievances, who are screaming out, who are doing things, who are reaching their limit. You can kind of understand whether you think they're right, wrong, or indifferent. If they feel they're at their wit's end and there's nothing else they can do, this is how people react, right? This is what people do when they are pushed to their limits. Our country right now is pushing everyone to its limits. This is not about one man, one incident, one politician, one time, one event, one concern. This is everything about our everyday lives, how we live, our freedom, who will govern us, who will tell us what to do, who will silence us. These are the things that every one of us is experiencing right now. So it's as they say, it's trending the other way from freedom. We are trending away. The word on the street, if you listen to the experts out there, there are now some academicians who are saying that free speech really is dangerous. Free speech really can be dangerous, and therefore we should enact some speech codes to limit some hateful speech. Like in Europe. In Europe, they have a lot of speech codes where you can't say certain things. Now, here in America, we can't say lots of words, right? We've started to make certain words pariah. You can't use them. And some of them, as we've said a thousand times here, some words are very ugly. They are absolutely ugly. And just as a decent human being, you shouldn't use them. If they cause people pain and hurt, you shouldn't use them. but to make a law that said if somebody does use a word, you can go after them. Because what's after the words? Then there's the thoughts. People have a certain thought. Well, how do you know what their thoughts are? Well, I guess if you're in power and you decide that, well, if you behave a certain way, if you believe certain things, then your thoughts are wrong, and therefore we will punish you for your thoughts. Now, sounds kind of like we're getting closer to that, doesn't it? How about all these people who are screaming to punish not just Trump because they don't like what he did. They want to punish his supporters, half the country. They want to punish them for how dare they have supported this guy. They want to punish your thoughts. They want to punish your beliefs. Is that America? What does that sound like? Right? What does that sound like to you? And these are things we need to really consider. And when I look at it, I see one side that's in power who's got all the power right now to silence and shut people down and to cancel culture and do all this other stuff that's negative to anyone who's got a different point of view than the mainstream group. And that's great for people who believe in that kind of stuff. If you're on that side, you don't care if the election was stolen, as long as it came out the way you wanted. You're cutting yourself short there, because sometime that power base might just switch, and then people who steal an election might steal it from you. And there's really nothing you can do about it once you set up the parameters that that's okay. Okay? You might want to say, well, I don't like certain words, and I don't like certain thoughts, and therefore those thoughts should be punished. Sure. And then what happens when you're out of power and someone else is in power and they don't like your thoughts and they don't like your beliefs and they decide to punish you? Well, the precedent will have been set when we decide that speech, as ugly and as painful as it can be, is something we need to regulate and control and punish people for. Now, a while ago on the AmericaOutloud.com platform, I had written an article. And it was a much more benign article about free speech. But it was when all these speech codes started popping up. You know, college campuses and, you know, people losing their jobs because they said something 5 years ago, whatever that is. But when you look at that, the whole idea is that freedom of speech is the linchpin of freedom. If you can't say what you believe, if you can't say what's on your mind without fear of punishment from the government, it's one thing to come out and say something that's ugly, and then people, regular citizens, turn against you. They don't like you. They won't be your friend. They won't come to your house. They don't like you. They won't interact with you. That's one thing. That's the punishment for saying something ugly. But when the government turned its sights on you because words that they have deemed inappropriate, and they use the power of government to punish you for words and thoughts, think about that. What is that? Well, if you're in the side that's winning and you think that that's appropriate, I don't know what to tell you. How you can think that, I don't know. That is one of the first steps to the destruction of freedom and liberty. And that's what I talked about in that article, is that is the linchpin. Freedom of speech is the linchpin of all of our freedoms. Without that, we have no other freedoms. And is that under assault? Let me ask you that. You think freedom of speech is under assault? They are now taking and twisting words that Donald Trump said and turning it into another impeachment because they have the power to do so. Doesn't matter what he actually said. It's what they think he meant or what they want him to have meant so that it serves their purpose. Right? So when he said up there, I know you're going to go to the Capitol soon. Go down there and let them hear your voice. Let them know what you're thinking. That doesn't mean go down and attack the Capitol. But they have turned it into that. They've turned it into that. And lots and lots of people who think that that's not correct for them to do that are now keeping their mouth shut. Because the tide of power is changing. And you know what? Why would you be worried? If there was nothing to worry about from your government, from Joe Biden and his administration, who wants to heal us and bring us all together, and we're all going to work this out and figure out how to do it, why would anyone be concerned in real time? Well, because we all know the truth. They said they're not going to raise taxes. We believe they are. They say they're not going to come after your guns. We all kind of know they are. They're attacking free speech every single day. They're not healing us and bringing us together. They're dividing us even further. They're threatening an impeachment and they're telling half the country this is a punishment for you. Then they got people coming up saying that they want to have thought police courts for things you've said. You better apologize. John Brennan came out and all but said that. He came out and said that if people who supported Trump don't come out and beg forgiveness and ask for repentance that they supported Trump, that they'll be ruined. Really? You know, they do that in communist countries. Oh, wait a minute. Isn't that something that people on the right always said, that the left were kind of socialist communist? We have to open our eyes and just ask the question, is it true or is it not true? I'm willing to see the truth. If Joe Biden turns out to be the greatest president in the world and our economy booms and our freedom increases and our people get along, I will applaud and say what a great job he has done. I don't dislike Joe Biden. I don't know Joe Biden. It's like Barack Obama. I didn't know him either. If he did the things that were good for the country, I would have applauded. I don't care that he was a Democrat. But the reality is, history has taught us that the two different parties look at things different way, different philosophies about how to deal with people and governments and economy. And one way is much more regressive, and one way is more progressive, right? So we have all of these things coming into our lives here as we move along. And all I'm asking everybody to do is take a deep breath, look at the facts, think about it honestly, right? Don't be one of these people that just you think biasly, or you're going to twist the facts because you can't lose the argument. You know, when you talk to somebody, if they can prove a point about something you said and you were wrong, wouldn't you really rather know that? Or is it more important for you to win the argument than it is to be right? I would rather be correct in understanding how things go. I'd rather know the truth so that I could operate from a place of truth. I don't want to just twist things so that my side wins. I want an economy that booms for everybody. I want everyone to enjoy living in freedom in America. What a great place. We want to bring people in from around the world that will help our country, not just compiling into door because they need things. Well, lots of people need things, right? We can't just take in everybody. We have to do it smart. We have to do it properly so that there's rules, right? If there's no rules for some, then there's no rules for anybody. And keep that in mind. And this is what I think some people are missing out in this whole argument. And that's my point, really, of this whole segment. Because it works out for you doesn't make it right. And just because it works out for you now doesn't mean it'll be good for you later on. Now, of course, the difference in that equation is depending on which side is willing to push their power. We know the Republicans really don't push their power. They get accused of it all the time, but they don't push their power. They back down. They back off. They cower. They're very weak Republicans. They don't really push their power. When they finally do get a position of power, they recoil from power. They apologize for having power. Our friends on the left don't do that. We need to take lessons from them. When they have power, they jam it down your throat. They could care less what you think about it. They do what they want to do. And that is what people are concerned about when we switch power. Not that people are bad just because they're bad, but because of what they will do. So think about that. What do you think is going to happen as we move to this brave new world and we switch power in our country? Is it going to be better? I don't know. Let's find out. We'll be back in a minute with round three here on Chasing Justice.
My fellow Americans, you've watched for decades as radical Marxists have systematically taken over some of our nation's most cherished institutions. Well, AmericaOutloud.com is fighting back with one of the fastest growing conservative media networks in the world, featuring some of the nation's most influential experts and commentators. Join us. We're in this together, and we consider you part of our family in our crusade to share the news, commentary, and agenda that can lead America back again. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Okay, here we go. Our session this afternoon is going very, very quickly. There's so much going on out there. We're only touching the surface. Now, normally I have my you know, my pages of outrages. I don't have that today. I'm trying to, like I said, be calm. I'm trying to look at things in an even keel. I was upset. I was upset with how the election came out. I wasn't happy with it. I didn't think it was the right thing for us, and I was upset. I tried to get over that, right? I'm trying to move on. I'm trying to now be accepting of what the future is going to bring and see how I can do my part to make it better so that it works out for everybody. So that's the whole vibe of this show today, if you're following along. I talked a little bit about the free speech issue. Let's talk about big tech and what they are doing to silence speech. Now, again, this comes down to they do not like conservative thought. So therefore, they have the power to shut it down. They're going to do it. Does anyone expect the Department of Justice to step in it? Because this is a clear violation of what it looks like to have a monopoly on something. Now, granted, these are private companies. I'll be the first one to tell you that a private company can do what it wants. But there is a moment when a private company exceeds the boundary of just being a private company and then becomes something more. Well, these social media posts, these social media platforms, I think a case can very clearly be made that they have exceeded their original, hey, everybody get to know each other and show pictures of your kids at your birthday. Social media platforms now have become the main source of news and information and interaction and free speech for people worldwide, but especially here in our country. Once you have breached those borders, and you have free speech. Now, this is a way for people to get on the pulpit and yell. Okay? Now, they make billions of dollars, these companies, off that free speech ability. And they're unregulated, right? They're unregulated. That's what 230 is all about. Because they are not supposed to act like editors and content providers, and they're not supposed to decide what you can and cannot say. And because they're an open platform, they're not regulated. Well, we have to ask ourselves a question. Are they making editorial decisions? Are they deciding what speech is good and what speech is bad? Are they banning people wholesale? For the longest time, there was shadow banning, where you thought maybe they were taking away your followers. It depends on who you were. They took away your followers. Maybe they cut out your posts. And then we started to see the big trend. Through the period of the election was they were going to jump on and they were going to be the arbiters of what a truthful statement was. But not everybody's truthful statements, only people they disagreed with. Now, did any of the leaders of any of these social media platforms come out and say, well, I believe A, B, and C, and anyone who doesn't believe that, I think is wrong and I'm going to censor them? No, of course they didn't do that. But this is where we have to look at the result of what they do to understand what's going on. Okay? So we look and we see that they're banning conservative thought, conservative points of view. You know, they have now told Donald Trump, they've gone all in that he is committing insurrection by the speech that he gave. And they have decided that his voice can no longer be heard. This is the president of the United States. Like him or not like him, like what he says or not. Don't we all need to hear what the president of the United States has to say so we can make up our mind? Maybe we listen to what he has to say and we say, that's disgusting, I don't like that. Maybe we listen to it and say, we do agree with that. But for someone to decide arbitrarily that they don't like it and therefore you can't hear it, this is going down the rat hole of censorship. And when somebody is deciding right and wrong, how long before they decide your thoughts are wrong? So they've banned Trump and a lot of other conservatives because their overall point of view is very clearly seen, even if it's not stated, is that your philosophy as a conservative is bad, is hateful, and is wrong, and therefore we're going to silence it. This is dangerous for everyone. Because you start to allow these things to happen. I've used the analogy before. You're like the frog in the pot. And the water is just sitting there and starts to warm up and you don't leave the pot till it's too hot and boiling and then you're out. And you know when that happens? That's when the thought police show up. They knock at your door because somebody heard you say something against the glorious leader. And maybe you need to go have a conversation with some people. Maybe you need to go someplace where you get your mind right so you understand. Does that seem as far-fetched today as it did a couple years ago? Like, I would not even envision that President Obama would do such things. You know, he didn't like you. He came out and said he didn't like you. He made up stuff about you. He, you know, the media worked with him. But I would never have imagined that he would say, you know, people in his administration would come out and say, maybe we need to punish people for being a supporter of these other things, right? But we have that now. Don't you think so? Do you listen to what people say? Have you heard the things that they're actually saying? Or are you in a bubble? Now, I don't think people here are in a bubble. I think people listen to AmericaOutloud.com. I think you're with it, as they say. You're paying attention to politics. You're listening to the news. But what news can you listen to? Who's going to actually tell you the truth? Or the truth based on whose point of view? Or the truth based on the facts being twisted to the way someone wants to tell you? There is no down the middle truth anymore. That's one of the things we face. That's one of the problems we face as a nation going forward. So this big tech silencing Trump, and then they silenced Dan Bongino, another talk show host, conservative guy, because they don't like his thoughts, they don't like his points of view, and therefore he doesn't get to speak. Then Parler, an entire website, the only way they could run their business was to have a contract with one of the bigger tech giants who supplied the servers and the ability for them to do their business. And now we see all our friends here in big tech who have decided that Parler, not that it's conservative and patriotic people on there, but that they're haters, they're fomenting violence, they're doing all this. Therefore, we will decide to shut them down. So there's another opportunity for us to see clearly what people with power and who are willing to use it will do. So they shut down Parler. There were hundreds of thousands of people on Parler who maybe had a little more of a conservative point of view or a very conservative point of view, and they wanted to voice their opinions. They wanted to have free speech. They want to give their thoughts on things. Now, you know what you do if you don't like what somebody has to something to say? You turn the channel. You shut them off. You don't buy their product. Whatever. You don't silence them. When you silence them, that is a violent act. It's a violence against freedom. Right? See, this is what gets taken away from that. When people applaud, well, we don't like listening to what Trump's horrible things he says, so silence him. Well, it's only a step until they can silence you. And you don't think so right now, because you're not in that position. But there comes a time. Go get a history book and open it up and see what happens when a government decides what's right and wrong and not what the people decide what's right and wrong. They do come and silence you. They do come and knock on your door in the middle of the night and take you away. They do put you in camps. They do charge you with crimes. Right? These things are real, and I never would have thought that this was a possible reality in America. But I think it now. Right? I think it's possible now. I'm seeing all the signs. The trend, like I said before, it's trending. It's trending towards less freedom, less liberty. Because, like I said, there are people out there who are now openly saying that maybe free speech is too dangerous. When you give certain people the ability to speak, it puts us all in danger. Well, I think there's some things that people say that have different points of view than I do. I think they're bad. I think they're bad for society. I think they're dangerous to society. But I wouldn't want to shut them up. I want people to hear them so they can hear and go, well, that's ridiculous what they're saying, as opposed to being told, oh no, this is the good and the true, and the other side is bad, and therefore we silenced it. That's why you can't hear it. That's how bad it is. You see, that's why freedom of speech is the linchpin of your freedom. And if you are someone who is applauding the silencing of anyone, no matter what they say, no matter how ugly it is, you are asking for your own speech to be curtailed and changed and taken away from you. Because if it's okay in one instance, it'll be okay in another. And this is the slippery slope of humanity and how we deal with each other. America has been that exceptional place for 200 and something years, where no matter what we thought was going on, no matter what party was in power, we all believed that everyone was going to eventually do the right thing for the country. And if it wasn't going the right way, you could go to your courts and count on your courts to pull us back towards constitutionality, fairness, justice, and that would prevail. And we would go on from there. The problem a lot of people have today, I think, is that they feel that the veneer of all those things that we believed have been ripped off in the past couple of years. The veneer is off. You really don't have any power. You really don't have free speech. You really are not in charge of your life. You're in charge of whatever they let you have. You know, when there's a tax increase, right? Because that's something we're all concerned about, a tax increase in regulation. When there's a tax increase, do they come to you and say, listen, we're going to raise your taxes? I know they make a big deal and they say, you know, $2,000 a year. For some people, that is a lot of money. That changes how their life goes. But when they come out and say, we're going to change the taxes and you're going to pay $2,000 more, do they say, well, can you afford that? How's that going to work out for you? It's going to hurt you? Okay, no, then we won't do it. You have no say whatsoever in what they're going to do to you. When there's a new regulation that says you have to do A, B, C, and D, when do you get to say, wait a minute, I don't agree with that. That's not right. How about all the rules they have for people's property, right? This is one of the things I know a lot of people out there in Chasing Justice Land worry about. You have land, you have freedom, you want to do what you want with it. Even smaller properties, you know, half acre, quarter acre properties. You got a little property. You want to put a fence up in your yard. And there's people that will come to you and say, no, you can't put up that fence. It's not the right kind of fence. You got to follow this regulation. I just want to put up a fence in my damn yard. And you can't, because they've decided you can't. Well, this is what people will do when you give people power and they don't see freedom as the most important thing. They see power. So where do you see it going now? Are we trending towards more liberty or away? So I would really like to understand my friends on the left, because a lot of my family and friends are on the left. And I really don't understand their point of view. I really don't get it sometimes when they're saying, it's going to be so much better now. Why? Because there'll be no tweeting from President Trump? Because there'll be no animosity in the news that they will ask him about ice cream? The president, they'll ask him about ice cream cones instead of asking him about Russian collusion that we all know didn't happen, and they hang on to that? That will make your life better, really? I don't understand it. If they raise the taxes and they go after business like they want to, and businesses decide to take the jobs and go out of the country again, which is why they went out of the country in the first place, and people lose their jobs and can't afford their homes and can't afford to send their kids to school or do any of that, how does that make things better? Now, maybe that won't happen. Maybe it'll be awesome. And I'm telling you, I'm hoping that it's awesome. I'm hoping that it's awesome. I just don't see it through my historical lens of the policies that people will come up with. Right. So now they're talking about, Mr. Biden says, I think there's a $10,000 per student loan they're going to wipe out. They're going to wipe out $10,000 of student loans. Well, on its face, that sounds great, because you got the money from the government. The government sent the check, and then you owe the student owes the money, and they can't afford to pay. It's a lot of money, $10,000 loan. So they're going to wipe out $10,000 worth of debt. That's going to help those kids have less debt or no debt, depending on how much they took, and they can have a life, right? Doesn't that sound great? That sounds awesome. How about if they went to each and every one of us that has a mortgage and says, we're going to take 25% of your mortgage off. We're just going to either regulate that the banks have to eat that 25%, or we're going to just take it right off of what you owe, and that'll be equity for you. Wouldn't that be great? But why don't they do that? Why? Because that's somebody else's money. When you take a mortgage, you make an agreement. You're going to pay them that money. They put it up for you. You can't just take that money away from somebody. You think they're going to lend money then? Who are they going to lend money to? They're going to lend money to people who have money, who can pay it back, right? Who don't need it. That's who gets loans, right? You ever go to a bank with a loan and go, listen, I need $5,000. For what? Because I want to do A, B, C, and D. What's your collateral? Well, I don't have any. But if I had the $5,000, I could do this. They say no. Right? This is where all this is heading. Are they going to go back and take $10,000 off of the kids who paid off their loans last year? Is it going to be retroactive to the people, the young people that paid off their loans last year? What about the parents that took parent loans and didn't want their kids to be burdened so much with loans, and the parents took the loans. Are the parents going to get $10,000 off those loans, or is it just the kids? So you say it's just the kids. I guess you can look at it through rose-colored glasses and say, well, it's just to help the kids. Well, okay, that probably would help the kids, but why would you do it just for the kids? Why wouldn't you do it for the parents, too? But a lot of parents cannot afford it. A lot of parents didn't save up $100,000 to send kids to college. They took parent loans, and then they'll find a way to pay for it, their home equity. They'll work harder. They'll work longer. How come we don't help them, too? See, because that's the slippery road we start to go down. Now we're going to open the borders and let everybody in that wants to come in. Sounds wonderful. People want a better life. Let them come here. But they come here and they have no health care. They have all kinds of problems. They don't have the education or the skill set. And what do? Well, we'll just give them what they need. Well, where did that come from? If the government has money to just give everyone what they need, why aren't they writing everybody a check? You know, I have a friend who earns a very small amount of money. Very small amount of money. I'm going to say $20,000 a year. That's what he earns. And he works hard every single day. Works very hard for his money. $20,000 a year. He can't afford $25,000 because all he makes is $20,000. It's very hard for him. But I know other people that make $200,000. And they own a home, they're sending kids to college, they have car loans, they have other debts that they owe. And for somebody making $20,000, $200,000 sounds like $1 billion. But it's all dependent on your lifestyle. What, maybe you've earned that much money to get there and you owe it. To determine who gets what, how do you make those rules? How do you decide? So giving kids college money, I believe me, I got kids in college. It'd be great if they got college money. That'd be awesome. But who's paying it? It's not just the government adding a zero on a check. It comes from somewhere. It comes from taxes from somebody, right? It's not a zero-sum game here. Growing economy makes the zero-sum game where everybody benefits from it moving. So listen, my friends, I appreciate you being here today. I tried to be calm. Right? Normally, you know, I'm a little more rambunctious. I'm a little more activated. I'm a little louder. I tried to be thinking today because we have a world changing before us. We're going to hope that it changes for the better. We're hoping that everyone will find a way to come together. But I've asked a lot of the right questions. You need to ask those questions of yourself and come to your own answers. Where is our future taking us? Will it be better or won't it? I personally hope it'll be better. This is Lieutenant Joe for Chasing Justice. Until we meet again, remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.